Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Sasha Adi, host of the PCOS Challenge radio show, designed to help women overcome polycystic ovarian syndrome, a hormonal and reproductive disorder that affects 1 in 10 women of childbearing age. We'll be bringing you the best information on fertility, parasitism, weight loss, nutrition, mental health, and other conditions surrounding PCOS. The goal of the PCOS Challenge is to inspire and motivate you to make positive changes in your life. So tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. This is Sasha Adi. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge. Hi, everyone. This is Sasha Adi, host of the PCOS Challenge radio show and also the PCOSChallenge.com support networking site. Today, I wanted to introduce everyone to the cast of the PCOS Challenge TV show. The television show is coming to PCOSChallenge.com this fall, and it demonstrates how PCOS behaves differently in individuals. And 10 women were given the same tools to help them make lifestyle changes. We all know that PCOS is a condition that affects women. However, entire families can benefit from women with PCOS improving their health and their lives. We had a lot of submissions for the first season of PCOS Challenge TV show, but we were only able to choose 10 women. And today you'll get a chance to meet 3 of the 10, and you get to meet the rest of them in subsequent PCOS Challenge radio shows. Okay, and in today's, we'll do about a half-hour show. Today's show we'll meet Jennifer, Naomi, and Rashana. They're all from the D.C. area. Jennifer and Naomi are from Virginia, and Rashana is from Maryland. They've happily agreed to share their stories about their battles with PCOS on the PCOS Challenge radio show today. And, you know, it's good to learn from the women who've been through some things with PCOS. And so I welcome Jennifer, Rashana, and Naomi to the show. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, Sasha.
Hi.
Okay, so first thing I'm going to ask you is, how did your family and friends respond to your interest in doing the show? And did you even tell them? Jennifer, I'll ask you first.
Definitely my husband was in first, and he was really excited about it. He didn't have anything to say about me possibly having this experience. He thought that definitely all the information and knowledge that I would gain from the show would, you know, help me and, you know, hopefully help a relationship. So he was definitely excited, and I did let my parents know as well. And, of course, the only thing they wanted to know is when they could watch me on TV. So they were very excited, too, and we continued the whole process, asked a lot of questions and what I'm learning and how everything's changing. So, yeah, everybody's been very excited, and they think it's a very surreal opportunity for everybody.
Great. Naomi?
Oh, hi, yes. Actually, you know, when I decided that I wanted to try out for the show, I really didn't think I would get on. So I didn't discuss it with anyone before I sent in my submission. It was all done in secret, I guess. So I went ahead and sent in the submission, and when I was asked to be on the show, that's when I started to talk to my family members about it. I've known for, at that point, about, you know, 11 years that I had PCOS, but it's funny, what hasn't really been much of a dialogue about it is my house. I would talk about the business that I was on or things that I was trying to do, but it was really hard for them to relate to what I was talking about. So this show really opened up a dialogue in my home and helped my family members to have a better understanding of what I was going through, why I was taking the medications, and that this is a real situation.
I don't want to take it seriously,
but for me, I had to really come to a place where I really accepted that this is a real situation. So that's where getting on the show and speaking to my family and my friends about it, really helped. But yeah, the dialogue in the house has opened up from my being accepted onto the show. And just even that little... that initial reaction there was so positive in my life. So,
that's great. And Roshana?
Well, for me, the things were slightly different. I kept everything a secret. I didn't tell anyone hardly because my mother would be the one that I would tell. And my mother, in the past 5 years, has suffered some strokes, which has affected her understanding and comprehension of things. I mean, she's able to comprehend and understand things, but I felt having PCOS was a little heavy, and it was a little bit much for her to grasp. So really, without my best friend, I didn't really tell anyone, and I just kind of handled things one step at a time myself. At the time, I decided to actually consider going on this show, I was at a very dark period in my life.
Yeah, Roshana, and we'll actually get to that because I was going to ask you specifically about that.
Yeah.
About your use of how you were feeling when you submitted your video application. First, let me ask you, and then I'll go in that order, Jennifer, Naomi, Roshana. Jennifer, what was the symptom or what were the symptoms that had the PCOS symptoms that had the biggest impact on you?
I would definitely say the symptoms that have had the biggest impact on my life. Number one, I would say, is infertility. I suffered from infertility problems since I found that, which was about 5 years ago. That had the biggest impact on me, my husband, our future, the way we were trying to plan things out. It affected me a lot because of the uncertainty, and I felt a lot of pressure to get everything correct with my body and my mind, and I just felt a lot of pressure to get everything right. Other than that, I would say it's probably what most women with PCOS go through. I would have the little hits of irritability and crankiness, and I was moody. My weight always kind of fluctuated. If I stayed really on top of like exercise and diet, I was fine. If I let anything go and had like a piece of bread, I was done. I would gain like 10 pounds. So for me, the fluctuation was hard, and I just didn't enjoy feeling or being overweight. I had like a little bit of hair loss, but for the most part, it like comes right back. But I guess just for me, it's little symptoms of PCOS that can add up and just make the condition hard on you.
Infertility was the major symptom.
Yeah, number one. Some of the symptoms I may not even experience, but that one was, that's number one for me for sure.
Okay. And Naomi?
You know, I've been thinking about this question a lot lately, I guess, since we concluded with the show. if you asked me early on in the last 11 years, you know, what was the biggest problem I had with PCOS, just having PCOS, I think I would have concentrated a lot on some of the physical things that were happening with my body and some of the same things that Jennifer was talking about. But for me specifically, I had a lot of problems with acne. And hair specifically on my face. You know, as a woman, and as a woman in her 20s, you know, you're supposed to feel good physically. You're supposed to feel supposedly the best. You know, you're supposed to be at your peak. And
exactly.
I found those things. Exactly. And I found, you know, physically, I didn't feel the best because, you know, I had a tremendous acne problem for a number of years, and the hair just increasingly got so bad. And then, you know, so a lot of my attention and focus went towards handling those things. You know, as I've gotten older and gone through having three children, the issue of my weight and diabetes really became a serious issue that I really needed, because now we're talking not just, I mean, we're talking quality of life before, but I mean, we're talking serious quality of not just my life, but, you know, the people around me as well. So, you know, that's where I was before I submitted to be on the show. So diabetes for me was a real possibility. Looking back now, though, I have to say probably the one big thing that I've really overlooked but has been really at the core of my problem with PCOS is a lot of the things that happen mentally. I'm still struggling with these things, and I'm looking at connections that PCOS might have with ADHD, you know, ADD, or, you know, some of the other things that happen, the forgetfulness, you know, the inability to focus, and, quite, you know, the depression, the anxiety. Those really have played in the background of my life, but I've really kind of focused more on the physical aspects. But had I been centered enough to, you know, address some of the anxiety issues, the depression issues, those physical things probably wouldn't have bothered me as much.
Right.
Now that I've gotten some of the physical things out of the way, that's what's really come to the forefront. And I think maybe I took it the wrong way. Had I really gotten my mind together enough, or just handled my body enough where I could just quiet some of the things that I was feeling, or some of the insecurities I was feeling with my body, i.e. the acne, the excess hair. I mean, those things bothered me so much only because of the depression and the anxiety.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Okay, Roshana, your answer?
I'm just listening to Naomi, and I have to kind of piggyback off of her a little bit in that when I was 15 years old, I knew something wasn't right with my body. Couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I've always been hairy by nature.
Amen.
But it seems like when I hit puberty, around that puberty stage, I noticed the hair growth more. You know, and it wasn't that bad. It started, you know, fine, you know, and people were like, oh, you have cute little baby hair. But then as I got older, I turned into a hairy girl, you know, and it was strange because I'm looking at boys who are hitting that puberty stage too, who are getting mustaches and chin hair, and I'm getting the same thing that they're getting. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is I'm a girl. These I shouldn't have what these boys have. And that began to really play on my mind. You know, it really began to, you know, when you're 15 years old, you want the boys to notice you. You want, you know, to be quote-unquote normal. And I had boys teasing me. You know, I had people actually teasing me, which sent my self-esteem down. It sent it straight down. You know, I'm having boys call me wolf girl and saying that I'm going to have wolf children, and that hurt a lot. being in high school and junior high and having people tease you like that. And you know, I wasn't the type of person that had quick, catchy comebacks. I'd go home and cry.
Right.
I'd cry to my mom. And my mother didn't know what to do. My mother thought it was something genetic. She thought maybe it was something in her, or we just couldn't figure it out, and we have been to
now. Rashana, do you think that the way you felt back then set the stage for the rest of your life up to this point, up to the point where you
in a way,
before the trip? Mm-hmm.
In a way, I do. I know that had a lot of. I was very self-conscious about my weight and my hair. Because, like I said, once puberty hit, I started picking up weight and couldn't seem to drop it. I could pick it up, you know, but I couldn't figure out why, because it wasn't necessarily how much I ate. I could eat a normal meal. My family members, my sister, my brother, my mother, my father were all thin or average. I was the heaviest in my family and would look at them every day and could not figure out why I'm gaining weight and eating the exact same meals that my mother's cooking for everyone.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure
your
it out.
Your body's behaving differently.
Right.
Your body's exactly.
And it was all of that encompassed together really weighed on my self-esteem, which, you know, continued because PCOS is something that you live with. And at the time, I did not know that I had it, but as each year passes, the symptoms increase, you know, because your hormone levels change. And as I got older, my hormones were changing, and I was getting hairier, and I was getting bigger, but not understanding necessarily why. I would go to doctors, and they would just say, "You're fat. You need to lose weight. You know, stop eating."
Right.
And I'm like, "Well, doctor, I'm eating one meal a day." You know, and they're like, you just need to do more exercise. And I'm like, okay, fine. You know, and all of that played on my mental, just like Naomi was saying, all of that weighed on me mentally. So it was, I would get bouts of depression. I was what you call a functional depressed individual. I could function, but I was sad all the time. And I didn't know why. I mean, I could be in the happiest of situations, but for some reason, I was sad. I remember, and I know we have to move on, but one thing specifically sticks out. I went to the Bahamas. It was my graduation present from high school. That is like the dream trip. But I was so concerned about how I was going to look in my bathing suit and how I was going to look in my evening gown that I made the trip miserable for myself. And I feel so bad about that because I was so conscious about how I looked in comparison to my friends who went with me, who I all thought were gorgeous. They looked gorgeous, and I looked like the troll. I just beat myself up. And I felt bad about that, you know. And as I got to be an adult, when you discover, you know, the responsibilities of being an adult and stress comes with that, it just made stress plays a heavy impact, you know, when you have PCOS. And it's
absolutely.
Like,
and things can spiral out of control, and
exactly.
There is a domino effect.
You're absolutely right. For the most part, my life was pretty stable up until my adulthood when my mother got sick, and everything fell on me. And when all of that stress fell on me, I was not prepared to handle it that fast. Because it literally happened overnight. My life changed overnight, and I did not know how to handle it. And with the PCOS, my hair was falling out. My body was just acting crazy, and I couldn't figure out why. I had no control.
So, if I could just add on to what Rashana is saying, I just feel like the mental aspect or how PCOS affects the brain, and therefore how we go about, you know, our everyday activity is one of the most under-recognized symptoms, I feel, of the syndrome. but it really has probably one of the strongest effects on quality of life, how you just live in your mentality about how you go about every day. It can affect your relationships. It affects your self-esteem. We quickly grasp onto the things that are happening physically because those are tangible. We can do something. I feel like we can do something about those things. But really, you know, I think if you can handle some of those mental things, make yourself stronger mentally, and I guess maybe we're in a chicken and egg kind of situation because in order to get yourself healthier mentally, you've got to get the PCOS under control. So, but I just think it's an under-recognized symptom. And when you start talking about, oh, I'm foggy and I can't remember things, like, I'm not feeling good, I'm depressed. I remember talking to a doctor and him actually saying to me, you know, when I say to him, I'm feeling kind of depressed, and he says to me, that's impossible.
That's impossible, really.
That was his exact words to me, and I will never forget it, was, that's impossible. And it's one of the top endocrinologists in this area. He makes a list almost every year. And he told me that that's impossible. You know, when you're dealing with things in your mind, you know, things about how you feel, these things, you cannot measure them. You cannot put them out there for anyone to, you know, objectify or measure, you know. There's no real science about it. That you can speak to how to use your feelings, okay? And that's one of the things that I really want people to know, that it's a real part of the syndrome, and it's affected, I would say, all the women that I've talked to that have PCOS in one way or another.
Absolutely.
So I can relate, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to what Rashawn is talking about, you know, with all her experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jennifer, I know you infertility is the major issue for you, and you've been through failed fertility treatments, correct?
Right.
Can you talk about that journey for you and your husband?
Sure. Actually, the way that I found out I have PCOS was, like I said, almost 5 years ago, and I had gone off birth control, and pretty normal with my period. This was the first time it ever happened, basically, since I was on my period during puberty. So I was shocked and amazed, and, you know, just thought everything was great, and I missed the period after about 6 months, and I went to the doctor thinking I'm getting pregnant, and I was very far from it, and he basically called me and told me that I had PCOS, and I've never heard of it. I had no idea what was going on, and he told me to Google it. So I Googled, and I immediately started looking for, like, the cure, like, what it takes to stop having PCOS. And there was no cure, and that scared me, first of all. I was like, I'm going to deal with this for the rest of my life. So once I heard this, I was like, I'm young, he's age, let's take this on my side, and let's get going. So I did Clomid first, which is usually most doctors, their first go-to treatment. I did, I believe, 3 months of Clomid. It did not work, not only did it not work, but I didn't even ovulate while on the Clomid. Very far from ovulating. So for me, that was really hard. And it also made me open my eyes and think, do I really want a child right now? Or do I really just want to know that I can have a child? And I realized that it would be. I just wanted to know that I could because I was scared. So I basically just packed up and I said, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to pursue this. I'm not going to do anything to prevent from being pregnant, but I'm not going to continue down this path because I'm just going to be crazy. So I just backed off for a couple of years, maybe about 3 years. And then when I moved to the Northern Virginia area, I found a fertility clinic. I met with them, and I was really impressed with them. And we decided to do 2 IUIs, which is intrauterine insemination. It's kind of like a very scaled-down IVF. And we did 2 treatments back-to-back. We did the first treatment, it failed, it did not work. And then we did 1 more treatment which also failed and didn't work. So that was all last year. That was about a year and a half ago. And so I just said I did not want to do any more IUIs. I didn't feel that it was the right treatment for me. I just knew something was not clicking with that. And that's when I basically said I'm going to get myself together. And if I'm going to continue to pursue any sort of fertility treatment, I need to be on my A game. So I just took that time. And, you know, the time with the PCOS challenge, I just worked on myself.
Right. And so how did these failed treatments weigh on you mentally? And how did this whole journey, you know, before PCOS challenge, how did that weigh on you and your husband mentally?
Right. To be honest with you, I was kind of the exception to the rule with most fertility patients. I was very laid back about doing the IUIs. I can already tell you how I was with the clone that I freaked out, but it was more, I was scared. You know, I Googled and it scared me and I reacted. With IUIs, I was very laid back during the treatment. So I was like, if it happens, it happens. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to do what they tell me to do. Everything seems to be going good. If this works, great. If it doesn't, there's more options. And
right.
It was hard on me because I felt like they would have worked if I had done more to better myself prior to doing that. You know, if I had just lost 10 more pounds, because doctors put a lot of pressure on PCOS women's weight loss. Not saying that we shouldn't, because it's important regardless of if you have PCOS or not, being at a healthy weight. But I put a lot of pressure on myself. I should have lost 10 more pounds. I should have worked out more. I should have not ate bread for 6 months prior to this. I should have not done this. After it didn't work, when it started mentally, I started breaking down a little bit. My husband's always been very supportive, and, you know, I've shared this with some of the other ladies. I feel very confident in my marriage, so I knew if we were to have children, that it could be okay. That just wasn't the road. That's not where we were
comforting.
Yeah,
it was comforting for you.
And we really enjoy each other, and, you know, I've become a strong marriage. My husband told me one day when I was down after my second IUI, and I remember I was in the bathroom and I was crying. They called me, they call you and tell you if you're pregnant or not, which is like emotionally just like very taxing. And he said, "I married you. I didn't marry you to have my children. I married you." And to me, that was just like all I needed to hear. It was very reassuring that, you know, he wasn't looking at me to have his children. Like, if we had children together, that's great. I mean, that's what's meant to be. It's not as okay. We're together because we're together. Financially, I've not discussed this before. It was fertility, infertility, very expensive if you want to try to treat it. And insurance, which many insurance providers do not cover anything, is not something you have when you're paying for it, cash, money, or credit. And for anybody that lives where we live, it's an expensive area, and it was hard on us financially to do treatment back to back. So, yeah,
but
we definitely needed that great to rebound.
Yeah. Great. So, Naomi, you have 3 children. So you're proving that PCOS does not necessarily mean an infertility sentence. So that's positive news for many women with PCOS. People always have questions. One of the first things that we hear when we get diagnosed, doctors tell patients you will have trouble, and others tell them you may have trouble. Either way, it's depressing and distressing to hear. So, did you have any issues with your fertility?
You know, for me, it just took time. It wasn't something that I'll tell you something between me and my husband, but we've never used any sort of birth control. So it's not something that happened right away for us. I did speak with my endocrinologist and my gynecologist about it a few times. I wanted to actually ask Jennifer a question. With her repeated attempts, I was wondering what advice the doctors had given her outside of the medicine and the treatments. What advice the doctors and specialists gave her about her chances of having a successful try?
Yeah, that's a good question. Really, the only thing that doctors ever conveyed to me on how to be successful, possibly be successful naturally or with treatments, is they put such an emphasis on weight. And for me, it was maybe 10 pounds. If they lose 10 pounds, I think that would really get you ovulating. They did press metformin, which I've been on for several years, and sometimes they would push them up my dosage to 2,000, which I think might be the highest you can be on. But no doctors ever went any other routes, such as try acupuncture or naturopath doctors. They never took me down any different avenues. So it was more like focusing on Western medicine, like what I could do, what more I could take, what more medicines I could take, and how much weight could I lose to help me.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering from your experience, if they had pushed you down any other avenues. From my experience, I actually did try acupuncture, and I felt that that was very successful for me. I didn't actually go into the experience of acupuncture with the intention of becoming pregnant, but that's what happened in the end. I did several months of acupuncture, and I actually went for more of my anxiety. And it ended up in producing my youngest daughter, which I'm very thankful for. But I was just wondering if, you know, at that time when I spoke to the doctors, they really didn't give me any, they didn't even tell me to lose weight. I've never really had much of a weight problem, in my lifetime, so other than outside of pregnancy. I was just kind of wondering what advice they gave me, because they really didn't give me any sound advice, and it just so happened I found acupuncture to work for me. Now, my third pregnancy, I was on metformin, so my son is my metformin baby. I was on metformin with my dosage, and boom, there he is. So those were the things that worked for me. My first pregnancy was actually a surprise, so and I didn't find out till after that pregnancy that I had PCOS.
Oh, but what a wonderful surprise that was.
They're all blessings, and you take them any way they come.
Exactly. Okay. So, Rashana, I'm going to get to you. I know you weren't trying to get pregnant, but I have to tell you that when we received your video application, it was very touching. You seem to be in such a dark place, and we actually feared that you're on the verge of giving up. So tell us what you were dealing with.
At that time, you know what, Sasha? You might be right. I was completely wiped out. I was wiped out mentally, emotionally, physically, and I was on the verge of giving up. The depression would get so bad that I would have crazy thoughts. You know, I would have thoughts of who would care if I were still here? You know, who doesn't matter? You know, I mean, I'm invisible anyway. You know, that was how I felt. I just really felt at a place in my life that I did not want to be. I was just tired. And you know, when somebody says, you know, or asks you how you're doing, and you say you're tired, I literally was tired in every sense of the word. I wanted to give up because I had nothing else to give. You know, personality-wise, I think I'm a giving person, but I just felt exhausted. And because of the stress of all of that weighing on me, the PCOS was winning. I was letting it win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was tapped out financially as far as trying to get the best hair treatments to take care of that. But then with the weight issue, I was dealing with outside forces. I didn't have support. You know, there's some people in your life that call themselves supporting you, but they only depress you even more. You know, they tell you what you need to do. Oh, all you got to do is this. Or all you got to do is that. Or all you need to do is push away from the table. All you need to do is jog, put on a sweatsuit and jog. You know, I mean, those things people think that they're helping, but they're actually hurting you because it's making you feel like something is that easy. You know, something so simple that you can do, and if you attempt it and it doesn't work, it only sends you to a darker place. And that's where I was. I have aerobics tapes up to wazoo. I've invested so much money in aerobics tapes because I did not want to go to a gym. I did not want people to see me because I felt I was always being judged. I was being judged by people within my family, and if I go outside of my family, I felt that I would be judged even worse, you know, because, you know, I'm a sensitive person, and words
from... Well, Shauna, I think a lot of people can identify with what you're saying. Somebody told me the other day that if she walks by and she hears somebody laughing or a group of people laughing, she always assumes that they're laughing at her. You know, she's that self-conscious or feels that people are always judging her. So
anxiety.
Exactly.
The anxiety.
That has to be such an uncomfortable state to constantly be in.
The odd thing is I'm more anxious over what those closest to me feel as opposed to those who I don't know. I could care less. I mean, I do care what everyone thinks about me, but it hurts less when it comes from someone I don't know. But when it comes from people who I do know who may not understand exactly what I'm going through, because what I get a lot of times is, oh, you're too young to be this way. You know, for whatever health, PCOS is a syndrome, but many, many other health issues come along with it. I have high blood pressure. I have to take medicine for it. And people say, oh, you're too young to be on high blood pressure. All you have to do is just exercise and just do this and just do that. My problems are bigger than that. You know, they're bigger than that, and people fail to understand me and all of me, and that sometimes is what hurts. You know, that sometimes is what I have to fight in order to function during my day. I have to get over that hurtle, you know, because I begin to think, I'm 32 years old. Maybe I am too young to be this way. What is wrong with me? You know, but then I have to sit back and focus and realize that people have these problems, and it's not just me. I'm not alone, you know, and there are ways to beat this. There are ways to deal with this. You know, I have diabetes in my family. You know, like Naomi said, I'm concerned about that, you know, but you know, I needed a direction. I needed a path to follow in which to learn so that is not my future.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, Shauna, Naomi, and Jennifer, I am really glad that you decided to to do this, to be a part of the Peace Plus Challenge television show, because a lot of people who can identify with you who weren't able to have that same type of opportunity can learn from your experience. That's the point of the show, you know, to show that it can be done if you put in the effort or, you know, if you get the direction, it can be done. And I really do commend you all 10 of you, for being a part of this movement, right? Because it is a movement. It's a movement for people to, you know, to take this seriously and for us to spread awareness.
Can I piggyback? I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to say really quickly, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do the show, and I'm a very private person.
Right.
And I do not, and PCOS is one of the most private parts of my life. And I do not like talking about the symptoms. I do not like talking about what my body is going through because as a woman, I feel it's very embarrassing. I feel it's, you know, it's taboo, kind of, sort of. You know, hush, hush, you shouldn't talk about that.
But Rashawn, I am the same way. I do not like speaking about certain things. But you know what? You know, you and I and the other women on the show and other women who are doing things to spread PCOS awareness are doing, we realize that it's bigger than just us.
You're right.
We realize.
That's why I decided to do
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
That's the exact reason, because at the time I submitted my tape, I was at a place where I wanted someone to help me. And if I were me looking at me, I would say, you know, I would really like to help her. You know, I want to help her.
Yeah.
And if I can do something to help her, I don't care what it takes. I really want to reach out to that individual. So that's the reason, that's the sole reason why I chose to do this, because I want to help women like myself. You know, I want to help them see that you can get over the hump. You can live with this.
Right.
And your life can be very
easy. And that was actually my next question to you ladies. You know, I always wonder, you know, whenever we watch reality show, whether we want to admit it or not. But
I do.
But I always wondered, you know, what type of person submits to being on those shows?
Mm-hmm.
But from what you guys have experienced, this really was reality. There was no scripts, you know, it was just 10 women placed in, you know, who came every weekend to work out and learn and support each other. And so I, you know, I've answered my question with this people for this particular show. I think people are looking for help for themselves, but every single person who was a part of the show was also thinking about a bigger picture, also thinking about helping others. Jennifer, would you not agree?
I would totally agree. And like Rashawn said, that was probably the main reason that I was interested in doing the show. I knew I would never have an experience like this again. You know, if I was looking at the chosen for the show, I knew that this was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It would never come up again. So that was very exciting for me. That's the one thing that made me definitely apply. And the second thing that made me apply was like I said, when I Googled and I looked for a cure, there wasn't one. It's just something that anybody that has PCOS is going to have to deal with for the rest of their lives. And like Rashawna said, it's going to change. Different things are going to change within our bodies as we age or as we go through, you know, like Naomi's pregnancies and things like that. Things are just going to change, and we need to have tools and we need to have knowledge to adapt, to know, you know, why do I need to eat this as opposed to this? Why do I need to exercise this way as opposed to this way? With PCOS, I've really, really found that the only way you're going to be successful with your symptoms and being healthier is with knowledge. It's just so much knowledge out there for PCOS, but you almost have to dig to the point where it's ridiculous. And with this show, there's so much support with the specialists, with Joseph and Rebecca and Dr. Ruth, that it's right there. And we're very lucky that we all got to be a part of that, and we didn't have to search and search and search. And yeah, it was in our face whether we liked it or not, and it may have annoyed us sometimes, and we wanted to do the diet every day in and out, and we may not have wanted to work out the way that we worked out, but we did, and people will see how it worked out for us, and, you know, they'll be able to learn from what we went through, and hopefully they'll be able to take the information that we're giving to them and our specialists are giving to them and make a change too if that's what they want to do. So it's really exciting. It's great. All around, it's great for everybody.
Absolutely. Naomi?
Yeah, you know, when I thought about being on the show, I had a specific group of women in mind, and I think I was thinking about the Mommy Brigade out there. I see them out there shopping at 10 o'clock in the morning or in the gym, you know, the minivan brigade, and I see women all the time that exhibit the symptoms, and I see them doing things that are contrary to the syndromes and things that are not healthy. So when I was thinking about being on the show, I think I was thinking about all the moms out there who are suffering with PCOS, and stay-at-home moms at that, and how that can play on you mentally, because you're really alone a lot of the day, either with your kids or, you know, running errands, doing things for your family. And many times you're the last person on the list. And I know a lot of women who have, you know, children, and since you're the last person on the list, your health is the last thing that you think about, and you let a lot of things go. And in many cases, you have the PCOS. The PCOS just wins by nature of the fact that you put yourself last.
Naomi, I have to agree with you about that. Mothers in general, you know, a lot of mothers fall into that trap, but women also do it, whether they have children or not. They put their husbands first or their boyfriends
first,
their family first.
I will agree. We put everybody, you know, whether it's an ailing, you know, parent or, you know, whatever responsibilities, a job that takes up too much of our time, I will agree, women in general do it, and I was thinking more in terms of the specific group I had in mind, where the moms out there, you know, that are out there in their sweatpants and thinking that it's over, you know, I've had my kids and I'm, you know, everybody else first but not me. Exactly, and that's, I mean, because that was the position that I was in. Before I got on the show, you know, here I'm heavy, I'm faced with diabetes smacking me in the face, I'm doing all the things that I think I know to do, but I'm really feeling defeated. So I saw the show as an opportunity to really speak to those people who are in the same position that I was in. It's never too late to pick yourself up, to do the work, to learn and to change and make your life better, and don't forget about you. You know, if you're not attending you, nobody else is going to.
So true.
Absolutely.
So that was the space that I was in, you know, before I wanted to be on the show, and that's the mindset that I went into the show, you know, with. What I didn't know that when we got on the show, though, was I guess the shift that would take place. I knew that I would require to be open, but, you know, like some of the other ladies talked about, liking their privacy, you know, here I've suffered with anxiety for so long and the need to hide for so long. To do a, you know, TV show was so counter to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to really let that go. I really had,
right,
you know, and
right,
anxiety head on.
So we've mentioned a few times other women on the show, and so how was it, like, just being around so many other people who could identify with exactly what you were going through, even if they hadn't been through it, they understood and they were
awesome.
I have to say, when you get a bunch of women together in any situation, there will be different personalities and different, you know, habits and behaviors that you adjust to. But overall, this was a true sisterhood. And I have to say that because it was the very first time in my life where I felt truly understood. I've lived pretty much my whole life feeling misunderstood. I tell people all the time, you don't understand me, and you never will. And I hate saying that because I have begun to feel, well, maybe I'm the oddball. Maybe it's just me, you know, and maybe I'm just pushing everyone away. But when I met these women are amazing. I mean, from all walks of life, we had one thing in common that brought us together, and it really felt like a true sisterhood because I could go to Naomi or I could go to Jennifer, and they understood immediately without me having to say anything sometimes. I could just have a sad face, and they're like, oh, I know, you know, and they really did know. It wasn't that they were just trying to be sympathetic. They were also empathetic because they shared some of the exact same feelings, some of the exact same symptoms, some of the exact same emotions that I had, and I could not share that with anybody on my outside circle. Not even my closest family member, not even my best friend, because she doesn't have PCOS. She doesn't understand. My family doesn't have PCOS, and they don't get it. But these women got it, and I felt so embraced and so loved, really, even if, you know, we may have had a bad day and we needed our space, you know, maybe the workout was a little too intense and we just needed to spread out. I still felt love. I still felt that love, you know, and it's amazing. And to this day, you know, I vowed that we will be friends and sisters forever.
That's great. Naomi, Jennifer, I
thought it was completely awesome. In many ways, I've never been in a group like this. I'm of the belief that when a bunch of women get together, there's something mystical that happens. There's some sort of energy. It's the same thing that aligns, you know, when a bunch of women live together, their periods align. There's something mystical happening there. We all seem to get on some sort of, I don't know, the same channel. And I felt like, with this group, I know it sounds corny, but there was a spiritual channel of some sort that we were all immediately able to tap into. And some of us knew each other before the show, but a lot of us didn't. So, you know, there was some chemistry that had to happen there, and it really did. I have to say, even as the show concluded, you know, those relationships continue. And for me, it was so healing.
Yeah.
I had, you know, for the first time in a long, long time, I realized that, you know, it really is me. It really was a lot of the PCOS and the things that were happening in my head that made me think it was me. And just being able to just kind of push that outside myself was, it actually healed me in ways that I am still discovering today.
Right.
And so the toll, you know, the PCOS had put in my life. So I got to tell you, it's for me, it's a completely awesome experience. Sasha, I got to give it to you. You put together a fantastic group of women. And I think the other women out there are going to find some, going to find a piece of them in maybe each and every woman, but they're going to find something to identify with.
Oh, absolutely. You all are so diverse, yet, you know, there is something that's a constant there. Jennifer?
Yeah. I definitely agree with both with what Rashana and Naomi have both said. I remember on the first day where we actually all met, I'm not even sure if we taped or filmed that day, but I remember, you know, I think everybody was a little nervous, like, what are we walking into, or what's everybody else going to be like, and you know, you were kind of giving a little bit of, you know, judging yourself compared to other people and things like that. And I remember once everybody was in the room, it was just, like, full conversation. There was, like, 29 conversations going on between two different people, and there was, like, little bits and pieces where I would be having a conversation with somebody, and then I'd hear, you know, another person say something I related to, and I'd be, oh, my gosh, too, and, you know, and we'd start talking. And, you know, there was, like, we all had kind of had a common denominator somehow, but then, like Naomi said, we were all experiencing different things. And, you know, sometimes I can't relate to what other people are talking about because I did not experience that with my PCOS. And I think that's really important with the show is because everybody is different when it comes to their PCOS. I may not experience the same thing Naomi experiences. Naomi doesn't experience the same thing Rashana does. That's why, like, a show like this is so important. And that's why with the 10 of us and our 10 personalities together, it really works out, I think, for us as a learning experience and then the viewers, too. I think they are all going to identify with somebody, and they might identify with a little bit of something from everybody, too.
Right, yes, I totally agree. Now, has your view of PCOS changed after your time on the television show, without giving any specifics, has changed for you at all?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, with the experience, like I said, I didn't really relate to a lot of the things that some of the women were going through. And I didn't really know that it was such an issue with PCOS, since I didn't personally experience it. You know, when you're with PCOS, it's a very personal syndrome. You deal with it yourself. You probably don't really talk about it that much, except maybe with your doctors or somebody that you find to help you with your syndrome. So, yeah, definitely for me hearing every week.
So the one thing I can say, I'm sorry, Jennifer,
okay.
We only have a few more minutes left. But, yeah, the one thing I can say is the one transformation I can tell people, because we can't tell people all of what happened on the show, but
uh-huh.
One thing I can say is that a lot of people before thought of PCOS as this beast that they couldn't conquer, you know. And I saw that people were, you know, putting their fighting gloves on, literally, like, you know, come on, I'm ready for this, I can take this, you know, and I'm bigger than you,
right.
You know, you won't keep me down. So now I'm going to ask each of you, what advice would you have for other women who weren't able to participate in this experience in the show?
So the advice that I would give to anybody is if you're suffering from any sort of symptoms from PCOS, which you probably are, is you need to find a doctor or practitioner or naturopath, anything that you feel comfortable with as far as your health, because you need to find somebody who really understands. And when I say that, I don't mean somebody that's read some textbooks and they took courses on it. I mean, the doctor who really knows what you're going through. For me, that's a very hard challenge to find. But once you do, it's very rewarding, and you will gain a lot of knowledge, a lot of information, and it's a good support system. So I would definitely say research, don't give up, and somebody knows what you're going through.
Great. Naomi?
Okay, so the advice I would give to women out there, I would have to piggyback off of what Jennifer just said regarding finding a good doctor. That's probably, you know, step one. In any major city, there's publications that put out, you know, or print top doctors in your area, and that's a good place to start. But I will tell you, don't end your search there if you're not happy with what you found. I've used the list, and I found, you know, quote-unquote, the best doctors in the area, gone, and had, you know, I just shared a little earlier my negative experience that I had. I continued to search and found another doctor that I still have now, and she's absolutely wonderful, and I refer all, you know, everyone to her. So that's a good place to start. Don't, stop there. Ask friends and family for referrals as well. The other thing that I would say is to really get on the internet. It's a great tool. You can't believe everything that you read, but it will send you in different directions, regarding PCOS. The other thing that I would say is, you know, don't downplay support from other women who are in your similar situation. And I would really encourage women to go out and join the website or any PCOS, you know, website. Yeah, and I know that you do in the D.C. area, you do a meetup group. I mean, that is a great way to get in contact with other women with PCOS. And just, you know, it's a group for us. So, you know, the more people that come, the richer the experiences. And really, honestly, I got to tell you, one of the most healing, for me anyway, it was one of the most healing experiences to just be around a bunch of women who, without even speaking, understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, now, thank you, Naomi and Jennifer. Roshana, any last words, advice about PCOS?
Well, I mean, I would just, again, piggyback off of Jennifer and Naomi as far as seeking out a good doctor. That is key. We emphasized it three times, but it is so key because there are so many doctors that want to tell you how your body is, but you, as a researcher, know what you're going through. You know your body best. Don't let a doctor tell you otherwise. And if you can find a doctor to work with you on how you feel about your body, that's a good doctor. If you work with a doctor who listens, I mean really listens, who sits down and has his hand on his chin, looking at you in your face, that's a good doctor. The doctor said, brush you aside, and if you're not happy with them, don't stay with them. And know that there is a good doctor somewhere. Don't give up on that. And another thing that I wanted to say that is key too, don't assume anything with this condition, because assuming will hurt you more than help you. If you assume that nobody wants to hear about it, if you assume that nobody understands, if you assume that nobody cares, you'll never know. You'll never know, and you'll never reach that point where I did. I found people who cared. I found people who understood, and I found people who are just like me. Seek a support group. Join the PCOSChallenge.com. Join support groups with women who understand, who can sympathize and empathize with you. If you don't have a friend that has the same condition, find a good friend who will listen. Find that good girlfriend that will talk to you at 2 a.m. in the morning. Find someone that you trust, that you can talk to and share how you feel, because it's nothing like that one good person. You don't need a whole bunch of people to know your business. But it's nothing like that one good person that you can lean on for support and who can feel, you know, the things that you're going through, the stresses that you experience. That's always key, and that helps a lot.
Well, thank you, ladies. Thank you so much for like a sneak peek into the PCOS Challenge TV show. I'm sure people are intrigued. You guys are a wonderful one. You ladies are a wonderful group of women. And I take so much pleasure in being around you guys. And I personally feel the support when I'm around you as well. So I concur with all of them, you know. Join PCOSChallenge.com, seek support. Find a great doctor or other professional, a naturopath, acupuncturist, whatever it is that, you know, that can help you. But definitely find a good doctor who will listen to you and who will fight to help you to improve your health. Again, Jennifer, Naomi, and Rashana, thank you so much for being on the PCOS Challenge Radio Show. And I can't wait for people to see you all in action.
Thank you, Sasha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see you again soon. Okay.
Thank you for listening to the PCOS Challenge Radio Show. Tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. Also, be sure to join our social network at PCOSChallenge.com and sign up for our newsletter. This is Sasha Achi. Let's spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge.